I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as capital.
You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Groot, and I have on the phone with me Senator Carla Bigham, and it's good to talk to you today. Senator, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me, Mike.
The big news, I guess, we're looking at today is the extension of the stay-at-home order from Governor Walz the other day. Let's talk a little bit about that and how that affects our economy and our lives in general as we move forward.
Sure. So the governor announced that he is going to extend the stay-at-home order until May 18th. But by doing that, he's also going to move the dial, if you will, which is a great analogy, on opening up some of the businesses for curbside or look online and call in pay. And it minimizes that exposure. But I think when we look at the first stay-at-home order and what we have gone through since early March, we have had significant breakthroughs in flattening that curve, and we are the best in the nation at that with infection rate. And so what we're doing is working. We need to start opening up the economy in a smart, deliberate way that is safe and slow. I always like to point out where sometimes I think this gets missed in the conversation, Mike, is will people feel comfortable going back into restaurants and large gatherings and places of worship and all of this? Currently, a lot of polling and just conversations that I'm hearing is no. And so with that, that's why you need the testing. That's why you need the plans for these businesses to open back up in a safe manner so that they can explain and demonstrate to their customers that they will be safe. And these are all the wonderful measures that they're going to be taking to reopen. And I think that is a very smart approach in building the confidence of customers, because that is the other side of this coin, right, Mike? First, if people don't want to be exposed, and you have to have the safety side of it. Wearing a mask outside in public, and there's now retail stores, and the governor was joined by the head of the Retailers Association. It's important because they understand that. You can open up, but if you don't have customers that are feeling safe, it's not going to help the business. And here's my other point, and I think I've made this on previous interviews with you, is stay-at-home order or not, if you do not have healthy employees to operate your business, your doors will be shuttered. To me, the classic example of the meatpacking companies that have shut down because they had too many sick employees to operate, the long-term care facilities that shut down because they had too many sick employees to operate, that was not a stay-at-home order interference. Those were, you know, industries that were open and open all along. So that is why it's important to make sure that your employees are safe with these plans and how you're going to make sure that they're going to be able to stay healthy and operate your business, but then also the customers that are going to need to come back in to patronize your business.
Right. So I'm kind of in the minority from the information that you're receiving. I kind of look forward to the ability to, the best way to put it, I guess, would be to mingle with society, you know, get out there and see folks and say hi. I'll do my best to maintain social distancing and guidelines, but I kind of miss just being able to wander around and sit in a restaurant and hear other conversations. I'm kind of looking forward to it myself.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that we've discussed this again too on previous interviews, that we have a lot of wonderful events that take a lot of effort to put on, like Rivertown Days and Strawberry Fest and Kaposia Days and county fairs. And we enjoy those. We look forward to them. And that is heartbreaking that we're going to be robbed of those this year. And I agree. I look forward to the time that you can hug people you're not in the same house with. Right.
Yeah. Oh,
and
sure.
So by this point, I think we're getting sick of the people we are stuck in the house with at times. So, but I do think that it's important to remember both sides of the equation.
Sure.
In the fact that we've got to build confidence up. And here's the other thing, and kind of going into the next topic is testing. You know, we've been able to ramp up testing not as much as we want to because we don't have the materials.
Right.
And the Defense Act was implemented by the president recently to help with the swabs because there's a huge shortage of swabs nationwide. And so that will help with the confidence getting the antibody testing and diagnostic testing available for people that want it and need it is going to be key. I think as we open up the economy and there's going to be discussion this week about elective medical care and veterinarian and dental services that we'll be able to open up. And the other factor in all of that is PPE. I mean, we still are struggling to make sure we have enough personal protection equipment for these healthcare workers and the frontline workers. So, we're slowly coming out of that. It isn't fast enough, but the fact is that we've got to do this in a safe and smart and deliberate manner, and that's what the governor's doing. Businesses are opening back up. We had manufacturing industries open up, which put a lot of people back to work. Now with the small retail stores that'll be able to open back up, that's a significant amount of more people going back to work. So businesses are opening up, and I think that that's a good thing, and we will establish a new norm, if you will, on
right.
how we do
yep.
commerce.
And I just received information just today that our Hastings Downtown Business Association is looking for some assistance or guidance from the Hastings City Council on doing, you know, what can they do in light of Governor Walz's current directives as far as getting some business back into town, because they're concerned that this will have an effect for an indeterminate amount of time. They're not even sure how long it's going to take them to recover.
Right. And I think it goes back into and what we've been working on in the Senate. But I think how are we going to, you know, in the Senate, they've been more, in my opinion, focused on a partisan thing that I don't agree with. You know, this week, and I voted against both of these measures, we had a measure that basically required any of the federal dollars to be approved by the legislature. First off, we don't deliberate federal dollars because we don't have control over the guidelines that are sent down to us from D.C., right? They appropriate the money, they put, you know, guardrails and guidelines and restrictions on that. That money can only be spent on COVID-related issues.
Mm-hmm.
And previous legislation that I did support established a panel which consists of the leaders of both caucuses, so the Democratic minority leader and the Republican majority leader, plus the finance chair and lead and other members to have oversight and approval. That has gone very well, and there has been little to no dissent in how this has been going. And it's efficient for our counties, for our hospitals, for folks that this is earmarked, designated money from the federal government to them. We all saw how the HAVA money, the Help America Votes money, was politicized by them, you know, last year, and now it feels like this is kind of the path they want to go down again, which I don't agree with. This is not a time for politicizing and partisanness.
Right.
Then the other side, then the other thing is the Republicans put in the Senate put up a tax bill that is a substantial amount of money. It's over $300 million, $327 million, We don't even know our budget forecast, Mike, in the next year. And everything that is directing us or guiding us is saying it is not going to be pretty. We are going to have a huge deficit. Our reserves are going to be depleted. And it's like you're cashing or writing a check. You can't cash. And so while some of these, proposals I agree with, I can't spend that kind of money when we don't know what the forecast is like. And is that where we should be focusing, or should we be focusing on keeping people in their homes and in their apartments? Should we be making sure that people, hourly employees, have, that work in our schools, are taken care of, so that they, when we go back, we're not in a dire strait for hiring people to educate our children in the future generations? Shouldn't we be focusing on broadband infrastructure to help make sure that if we have distance learning, that every kid can have access to broadband? The other thing is, we're in a pandemic mode, and the most vulnerable people in our communities that have personal care attendants, these are some of the lowest paid people in the workforce.
Right.
And so shouldn't we be looking at helping them be paid a fair wage so that they can continue to survive providing this vital work and service to our most vulnerable people? So, I mean, if you can't keep a roof over your head or food on the table because you make such a low wage and you're a personal care attendant, there's something wrong. And so is that what we should be focusing on, or should we be focusing on tax breaks and stuff like that? So that's kind of the discussion that is going on in the Senate. And I just don't know that the partisan nature of it is healthy, and I don't think it is something that is going to accomplish anything in the end. And I don't support the partisanness, and I want to call people out that are being partisan, because I think it is not helpful in the dialogue and getting things accomplished.
Okay. And while we were discussing this before we got going this morning, you had mentioned that was going on in the Senate, but if I remember you correctly saying that you weren't sure that there was anything akin to that going on in the House. I know you can't really speak that because you're not in the House, but...
Yeah, I'm not in the House, but I know they are focusing more on the housing and on the jobs aspect of it and the infrastructure aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, here's the other thing I would point out, which I've served in both the House and the Senate. All right? The House has to start the tax bill. By Constitution,
right.
The tax bill has to start in the House. So why in the heck is the Senate starting a tax bill when the House? I mean, there's the other kind of thing I don't get. Now, I've often said we should be the first appropriation bill that we should be sending across, the House should be sending across, is the tax bill, because then you know how much money you're going to have to do the omnibus spending bill. Novel idea. I think that's how most households do their bills, right?
Sure.
Got to see how much money you have, and then you got to write out, the bill.
Yep.
So I guess I have always thought, even when I was in the House, that would be a very good best practice to do, is first bill we should do is the tax bill. But funny, Mike, it always turns out to be the last one. So usually, and bonding are the two last ones to go across. So, It's stuff like that we, I think we got to focus on how are we helping Minnesotans? How are we helping, Main Street Minnesota? And, there's a lot of things that we need to continue to work on. And so we have to give grace to what I feel the governor, who's in an unprecedented situation. He's navigating uncharted waters. I give him a lot of kudos and his staff for the time and the responsiveness that they've been doing. And I think that dialing down that rhetoric is going to be important, and making sure that we accomplish good things for Minnesota.
Exactly. One thing also you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago had to do with the testing that they're starting to roll out. You mentioned before we got started that testing is going to be available in Hastings and Woodbury. Talk about that one a little bit.
Yep. So there's now going to be drive-up sites, so you can go to the Alina Clinic in Hastings or the Urgency Room or Fairview in Woodbury. Now, there's other locations.
Right.
So go on to the COVID website that the state has, and you'll be able to look at it. But I just was thinking that those are some of the closest locations to people that are listening to the radio station. And so you go there and they do the diagnostic testing. Now, what you have to do is, obviously, if you're having symptoms, call them, schedule an appointment, because that's a requirement, and then you'll get the testing done. And that is new for the last maybe week, because we didn't have a lot of equipment to do the testing and materials to do the testing. There, you know, the reagents and the swabs were on back order. And again, this is nationwide. So then the governor collaborated with the Mayo Clinic, the University of Minnesota, and the Department of Health, and were able to create a system to increase rapidly and escalate the number of testing units that we have, so that we can get through testing people quickly and making sure that we're detecting and diagnosing it. And then the serology test, which is testing for the antibodies, is so very important. And that will help us determine the amount of population that has been exposed. Between those two tests, we'll know and kind of be able to determine that herd immunity and being able to get people safely back to work, because testing is going to be a key component of how we continue to rapidly open up people back in a safe, steady, and deliberate manner.
And we have just about a minute left. I thought you'd be interested to know, I don't know if you've heard this or not, talking about hospitals, but I know that the Minnesota Air National Guard is doing a flyover of the hospitals along the river next Wednesday, just as a show of salute for the frontline workers. And
absolutely,
yes. Before we get done with the interview here, Senator Bigham, once again, I'd like to provide you the opportunity to provide your contact information.
Sure. We can be reached at 651-297-8060, and then always email me at sen, which is the abbreviation for senator, .carla, remember that's with a K, .bigham, at senate.mn. And Mike, anytime, just call, email. But I think I'd like to end today with one, thanking everybody for donating masks to the fire department in Hastings, Cottage Grove, South St. Paul, St. Paul Park, Newport, all over. But also just such a big thank you to those healthcare workers on the front line. We're going to do everything we can to keep you safe.
Excellent. Well, we have run out of time. You've been listening to Community In-Depth with me, Mike Rood. I'm your host for this segment, and Senator Carla Bigham. Senator, once again, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You're listening to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill. Now you're a law.
Oh, yes.